magazine. So if you haven't picked up the January magazine, I know it's in the Resource Center. Pick it up. The theme for the month for the magazine is Awaken Your Spirit. That's our theme. And so the talks reinforce a lot of what's written in the magazine. A lot of the articles will be, you know, you'll find complimentary information there. The daily guides will support you in awakening your spirit, and so will these Sunday talks. So see, it's all connected. There's only this one mind. It works. It really does. So this month, the theme is Awaken Your Spirit. And last week, we talked about wake up. Wake up. And so this week, we're going to finish up that part of the talk with smell the coffee. Right? Isn't that the theme? Wake up and smell the coffee. You know, and it's kind of a way of saying, you know, snap out of it. You know, it usually, well, where I come from, it usually was accompanied by a smack in the back of the head, right? Wake up, smell the coffee. This is what we're talking about. Pay attention. Pay attention. It's a way of saying pay attention. You know, as opposed to that other common saying, which is stop and smell the roses. It's a little different. Yeah, it's a little different. Is it two ways of saying the same thing? I'm not real sure. We'll explore that. Because I'm not really, really sure. I think it depends on how we define those two statements. You know, for me, wake up and smell the coffee is about put your attention on the stuff in front of you that needs attending. It's about seeing what's in front of you to do that maybe you're not seeing. It's kind of the 2x4 experience. Anybody familiar with that? You know, like if we're denial, you know, we could be in denial. We could just not be paying attention. You know how when your life goes on automatic pilot sometimes and you're just sort of cruising through and you're unaware and you're not really paying attention. And life has a way of waking us up, getting our attention. You know, it's usually not the 2x4 experience right away. It's usually like the pixie stick experience. You know, this little tiny pixie sticks, a little tip, tap, 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 you know, wake up, get your experience, you know, get your attention. And if the little pixie stick doesn't work, then they use a broomstick. And then the broomstick is like, you know, whack, 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 let's get your attention. And if that doesn't work, then life has a habit of coming at us with the 2x4. And then it's like, bang, bang, you know, like, wake up, wake up. So for me, waking up and smelling the coffee is about running interference with that, you know, and not allowing it to get to the 2x4 experience, but waking up and seeing what's in front of me to do. I need to wake up to the stuff that maybe I've been blind to, or maybe I'm in denial around. Maybe the stuff, you know, the stuff that you can see so clearly in your friend, you know, that they're like totally oblivious to. It's that kind of stuff, and we all have it. You know, that person, you know, that friend you've got that always dates the same kind of person over and over and over again and then wonders why it doesn't work, you know? Or that person who always gets the same boss over and over and over again. No matter what job they take, no matter what city they're in, no matter where what they're working as, they wind up getting the same boss. It's about that kind of stuff. Waking up to these hidden patterns, waking up to those behaviors that maybe we're oblivious to, that when we wake up and smell the coffee, it gets aha, it gets our attention. You know, some of those unconscious patterns can be holding us back from what we really want to experience in life, a more self-actualized life. So waking up and smelling the coffee is about like, you know, here it is, face reality, except, you know, I'm very selective about the kind of reality I want to face. So I just pick and choose, don't we? I mean, don't we always really do that? So awakening is beginning to look at those things that maybe we haven't looked at before, or maybe we're unconscious to, or maybe those things that people maybe say to us, and we finally go, you know, I think maybe I should explore that. I think maybe I should explore that. Because if it is some limiting behavior we have, some behavior based on old tapes, I love using that. It's like nobody uses tape anymore. Those old MP3s that are running around in your head, you know. It's about that. And it's about awakening to that and making changes that maybe we've been blind to before that, you know. And the other phrase, stop and smell the roses, for me is about slowing down and taking into consideration all of those things around us that are so lovely and fabulous and joyful. And it's about seeing the good that's already there, that maybe because we are so goal-driven, that maybe we don't see. Our heads are down, we keep moving forward, and maybe there's beautiful scenery around us, and we're not seeing it. And so that, for me, is kind of the difference between the two sayings. You know, the smell the roses saying is just enjoy the ride. Enjoy the ride. Look around us. Find the treasure buried in the sand right beneath our feet, to find the gems, you know, that are in our everyday environment that we just sort of are oblivious to. It's to find and to see the good that is all around us. And it's also to see the good that we can't see all around us, right? Have you ever been in that condition where it doesn't look like good? It looks like it looks like anything but good, right? And it's to stay in the consciousness of there's good here and I know it, even if I can't see it. It's a call to awaken, right? To find the goodness that may be hidden, You know, there's good all around us all along, and sometimes the conditions look something other than good. And so maybe it's a call to change. Maybe it's a call to change something we're doing. But it's always, always a call to awaken. You know, the sights and the sounds and the tastes and the touches in your immediate area that just delight you. You know, that's what we awaken to. There's something to be grateful for in every moment. There is something to be grateful for regardless of conditions. Regardless of the way things seem to be looking, we know that underneath that there is good all the time. You remember that old, there's an old Taoist story about the farmer who had farmed his land for years and years, and one day his horse ran away. And his neighbors came out and they heard the news and they were like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And the farmer said, well, maybe, you know, maybe. And the next morning the horse returned. And the horse returned with three wild mares that it had become friends with. You know, and the neighbors I don't know horse stuff. And so the neighbors came over and they were like, well, yay, wow, isn't that great? How good for you. And the farmer said, yeah, maybe. You know, maybe. And then the day after that, the farmer's son went out to ride one of the mares, and it threw him, and he broke his leg. And the neighbors came over once again and went, oh my gosh, we're so sorry. That's a terrible thing. Oh, that's tragic. And the farmer said, yeah, maybe. You know, maybe. And then the day after that, the government came through, and they were conscripting young men for the army. And they took all the young men in the town, but not the son, because he had a broken leg. He couldn't serve. And so then all the neighbors came by and said, yeah, yeah, isn't that great the way things turned out? And the farmer said, yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. You know, it's about holding the good regardless of the conditions. The conditions don't make us happy. The conditions don't make us sad. We're happy or we're sad. And the conditions occur around us. So can we hold the good even if we don't see it? Even if the conditions around us temporarily look like anything but good, can we still hold the good? Can we still hold the joy? Can we still hold that idea that God is good all the time? That's a spiritual practice. That is a spiritual practice, to not let the outside inform the inside how to feel, but to allow the inside to just be, to sit in that equanimity, to be the good of God in all situations, no matter what things look like. And you know, here's the thing. We're drawn in to this relationship because of our senses, right? Wake up and smell the coffee, smell the roses, feel the feel of flannel, you know, taste the goodness of cake. Cake! We have cake, right?
Thank God.
Okay. We always have cake. I'm kidding. But it's about, you know, we always get drawn in. We get drawn into the physical world by our senses because that's what they're for, you know. But if we take that a little deeper, where does it go? Where does it go, right? We see the good all over. We see the good around us. We see maybe some people have a little more good than I have, right? And we can use that as a way to get bitter, or we can use it to motivate ourselves. We can be envious and say, you know, why does he have all that, whatever, money, friends, whatever, and I don't? Or we can use it to motivate us. We can use it to, like, what was it? Terry Cole Whitaker used to say, right? That's for me. Whenever she saw something that she loved, whenever she saw something that someone else owned or had or was sharing, she said, yeah, that's for me. So that's a way we can take the good that's all around us, maybe not in our possession, but the good that's all around us, and realize that we are all one life. Yeah, that is for me. So the good that others have is my good, you know? Whether or not the boss is making more money than you, or whether or not someone has a house and you're still in an apartment and you thought you'd have a house by this age and blah, blah, blah. You know all the stories we tell ourselves? Don't worry about it. Someone else's good is not our good. That's just as simple as that. Someone else's good is not our good. Our good is our good. There's no shortage of good. There's not a limited pie. Remember we talked about that. There's not a limited pie mentality of good. In fact, pie is unlimited, right? 3.1415, on and on forever and always. There is unlimited pie. There is plenty to go around. And we use our senses always to interpret the world around us, to smell the coffee, to smell the roses, right? To smell things, whether or not we should eat them. Don't you do that? You know, lots of people do that. Am I right? You smell it. You take something out of the refrigerator and you go, oh my God, this smells awful. Here, you smell it, you know? Why do people do that? God, it's horrible. But we do that so that we know whether or not, you know, we're going to kill ourselves. Really, honest to God. We use our senses for that. We hear fighting outside. Maybe we hear gunshots. Well, in this country, you hear a lot of that. It gets our attention through our senses. Hey, we're alert, we're awake, we're on guard so that we stay safe. Our senses help us pay attention to our surroundings so we don't poison ourselves, so we don't put ourselves in the line of fire. And what gets our attention can control our behavior, right? What gets our attention can control our behavior. I was reading an article the other day in the Harvard Law Review, and I don't know why, but I was. And it was really very interesting in that they had hired psychologists, Disney hired psychologists to go around in Disneyland, Disney World, and what they wanted to do was they wanted to find out what the little kids' attention is drawn to more than anything else. They wanted to see what the little kids paid the most attention to. Was it the big fuzzy creatures, you know, the big costume guys that walk around the park, or was it the rides, or was it the treats, the sweet treats, or was it the souvenir shops? What was it that the little kids paid the most attention to? And you know what it was? Their parents' cell phones. Isn't that awful? I know, it just broke my heart. Their parents' cell phones. And here's the deal. It's because, and mostly when the parents were on them. It's because they weren't getting attention. They weren't sharing this experience. The parents were off doing their own thing almost. And getting that undivided attention is the first ingredient in a strong relationship, right? It's the bond of a relationship is getting someone's attention. And also, attention shapes the brain. We know this. We know this. And so if we're not paying attention, there's a relationship here, but it's not really a relationship, right? You know, because the communication is not there. The attention is not there. The communication is not there. I think, wasn't it Oscar Wilde? I'm trying to think. I think it was Oscar Wilde who said, the biggest challenge with communication is we think we're having it. You know, yeah, right? It sounds like him. And that's exactly what was going on, you know? There's this breakdown, there's this thing. And what we know, what we absolutely know is that attention shapes the brain. We know this, right? The law of attraction. We've already talked about this. Well, we've talked about this for years. The movie The Secret. You know, where our attention is placed, that's what winds up growing. The things that we're predominantly concerned with, predominantly focused on day in and day out, with feeling, this is the stuff that we wind up growing. So if we're going to wake up and smell the coffee, if something's going to get our attention and we're going to put our attention on it, that's what's going to grow. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, we are so intimately connected with the universal creative God power that it is impossible to get away from it. Hence, we never have to wonder whether or not we are in touch with it. It is where we are and we are in it. It is in us. It is around us and flowing through us. We give direction to it. We have the perfect right to use it for any legitimate purpose of self-expression. If our whole intention is toward more life for ourselves and others, then nothing bad can result from our use of this law. So he says it really clearly, more clearly than I have up till this point. He says, our attention plus our intention equals manifestation. That's what he's talking about. Where we place our attention grows. Where we focus grows. So our attention plus intention, our desires, our feelings, our thoughts, where that MP3 that we keep going back to over and over again, that will shape our lives. And that's why it's so important we pay attention. That's why it is important we wake up, right? We don't want to be on automatic pilot. We want to know what we know, and we want to know what we're growing. Because we will manifest it. It will show up in our lives at some point. So if we're paying attention to the good that is all around us, whether or not we can see it, we still know it's there, like the sun on a cloudy day, like today, right? We know the sun's there. Can't see it. But we know it's there. And we approach life that way. I know life is good, whether or not I see the good around me right now, whether or not it's demonstrated, whether or not I won Powerball last night, which I did not. But none of you did either. Nobody did. Anyway, it's always next week. Now, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the conditions, can I be happy? Sure, absolutely. Regardless of my situation in life, regardless of what just popped up, maybe unexpected, can I still be joyous? Absolutely, absolutely. And when I put my attention on those things that maybe were unconscious, then I can put my intention on changing it. And this is the only power we have, right? Is right here, right now. Awaken to the thing, set our intentions, and change it. And manifest something different. And through our prayer practice, through our meditation, our contemplation, our visualizing, whoops, almost knocked it over. Through all of that practice, we become clear vessels through which Spirit can operate so easily, so quickly, move through us, and change the conditions around us. That's what we do. When we stop and we wake up and we smell the coffee, we awaken to those unconscious patterns and behaviors. We're able to make different intentions, and then results in different manifestations. When we can see the life that we're living as God's life for us, we can see the fabulousness of it. Life is a grand and great adventure that we're on, the highs and lows and everything in between. When we can know the good, even if we don't see it, we can slow down and we can savor those little precious moments. We can savor the little precious moments, the scent of a flower, the sunset, the feel of a flannel shirt, cake. I'm going back to the cake. Our life is always, always calling for us to savor it. Our life is always calling. You know, our spirit knows of us as these deathless, birthless, timeless, immortal beings that we are. And we're stuffed inside of a body temporarily. But our spirit knows of the expansiveness that we are, the timelessness, the eternality of who we are. And our soul craves experience and connection. Not good or bad. It doesn't judge good or bad. Our soul just wants the connection and the experience. So to sit and to savor every moment, to live in every moment, to be present for every moment, to be awake. And really smell the coffee. Wow, what a great smell. Even if you don't drink coffee, it smells good, right? It always smells better than it tastes anyway. Stop and smell the coffee. Stop and eat the roses. I don't care, whatever you want to do. The thing is stopping. It's the stopping part. It's the slowing down. It's the savoring life. Savoring life. You know, just sucking the juice out of every moment. Because that's what we're here to do. We're here to experience. Our life is always calling us. Our life is always calling us to wake up, to pay attention, to savor it. Mary Oliver said this. She said, instructions for living a life. Pay attention, be astonished, tell about it. That's it. Pay attention, be astonished, tell about it. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. We're waking up, we're smelling the coffee, we're just reveling in life, in the life that is all around us, and celebrating it. Our soul is always seeking the connection. Our soul is always seeking the experience. We're always being called to wake up and smell the coffee and slow down and smell the roses. Life is forever trying to get our attention, to put our intention towards something so that we can have the manifestation that we desire. And isn't that what we're here for? Right? So wake up, smell the coffee, let it get your attention. Put your attention on whatever that thing is in your life and set your intention and harvest the manifestation. Thank you so much.